Welcome to the Night Specialist Training. This is class three of our program. And today we're going to review the content that came out last week. Now, I have to apologize because I realized that the content was slow in being released and very slow in some cases. So, in fact, part of the video won't be on the site until this afternoon. So I am a little bit behind, and I apologize for that. You should have gotten, there should have been videos on observations in sleep coaching, which included recording and reporting. There might have been a little video clip with my little note thing, note-taking video clip. I don't know if anybody saw that.
And I saw that.
Yeah, so it's just a silly thing that we just did at this spur of the moment. And then we have part one and part two of sleep coaching methods. And
but I didn't, when I looked the day before yesterday, that wasn't up yet.
Yeah, so the part two is there and part one is coming.
Oh, okay, so I can watch them
yeah.
after.
Yeah, and yeah, so I apologize for that because it's just a bit more overwhelming, and I'm always trying to make sure the material is really current, and so then I have to go back and do research and stuff. And I added a couple methods that might not be on there. So first of all, does anybody have any like questions about observations or making recording or actual night work that they have now, or should?
Sorry, yes, I had a question which might seem a bit basic, but how involved are parents in the actual hands-on sleep support? Because the first video, it sort of suggests that we take over as night specialists because obviously we're reporting to them at the beginning of the night and then at the end.
Okay, sorry about that. I got booted off. And I apologize. We actually, this program has been really, really good over the past year, but they made some changes and we're having all kinds of issues, so we're looking at another format to run our webinars with, but that'll take a while probably to figure out the best one. So, did anybody have any questions or comments?
Yes, I had a question. I don't know whether you just heard it because my computer went off, so I'm sorry about that. It was a very basic question to say, how involved are the parents with the methods that we support? Because obviously we do a report at the end of the night, which suggests that they obviously go off to bed, but then there's some methods where they're there to help settle the child. So I'm sorry if it's a bit of a basic question, but I just wondered how involved the parents are and how much we take over, if you like.
Yeah, so, and it's a good question. It depends on the family, what their goals are, and the method as well. So a lot of families want somebody to come in and pretty much take over the night coaching, and it's really important that the parents put the child down to bed. So some methods lend themselves more easily to other people doing the coaching. And so, for example, the method we typically would use is the shushing down method, which is in the part one video that is coming out. But we'll just quickly go over it today. Now, other methods such as the sleep doula shush, the sleep lady shuffle or the sleep shuffle, that one actually really needs to be done by the parents or primary caregiver. And so in that case, we would be coaching the parents to do the coaching. In any method, we could be coaching the parents. Sometimes parents will just want somebody there to make sure, a lot of times it's to make sure that they don't, you know, give in, or to give them permission to let their baby cry is kind of how they're thinking. But, you know, just to sort of coach them along so that, you know, they feel more confident. Also being alone, you know, makes things a lot worse, or not having additional knowledge or experience can be challenging. I have been doing the shushing down method where a parent will want to stay in the room with me, which is fine, but it is kind of a really boring job, and it's also a great opportunity for parents to get some sleep, because the next night or after a few nights, they're going to need to take over. And so, you know, I tend to encourage parents to get some rest, but if they want to be present, then that's fine. I've had parents also, for what everybody has their own ideas and values, and I've had a few families who, you know, had me do the coaching, but on the night that I left, or for the nights after that I left, both the mom and the dad would do it together for a variety of reasons. Some of them just say they do everything together, and then, you know, one family was like, well, I'm not convinced the other one will follow through, so they were there kind of making sure that, you know, they followed through. But, you know, it's important for us to empower parents. At the same time, even if we're doing the sleep coaching, to give them the confidence that they can do this, but they're really tired, so if they needed the sleep, you know, we're going to hopefully get them in a situation that when, you know, they need to take over, they're going to be able to manage quite easily.
And are they the two methods that you tend to use, the shushing down and the sleep?
They're the ones I use the most, but
yeah.
I really try to make plans individualized. So I'm just going to pull up here. I have the class one slides. I'm not sure why they're not loading. I've already downloaded them. So you can actually, if you can see the slides and it's small, there's a couple of things you can do to see them better. You can run your cursor over the bottom of the bar at the bottom and make it bigger, or click scale to fit, or do plus or minus, or hit enter full screen mode. So, and then actually this program. So just to run through some of these methods. So I strongly advise you to watch the video, because there's a lot of details in there. Oh, my graphics didn't show up. It covers, between the part one and part two, it covers eight methods, or actually, let me just go back here, because I think it covers nine methods, just so that you're familiar with them. Sometimes they're used in combination, so, you know, it'd be important. And also, parents, you know, methods become popular, and parents will say, well, what about this method? And, you know, at least you'll know, have an idea. So the first one is wake to sleep, which is not really sleep training. It's kind of, you know, if the child wakes consistently at 1, 4, and 5, you know, you start with the first waking, and just before they're going to wake up or within an hour, you go in and you just jiggle them so that they kind of rouse a bit, and that kicks them out of the sleep phase that they're in so that they start a new sleep cycle. So it's kind of a silly method because, you know, most wakings aren't due to just habit. Usually other reasons, but it can work in some cases. It's just, it doesn't teach the child to fall asleep at bedtime. It has nothing to do with that. However, you know, if a family wants to try some really gentle methods and they can afford to have you for, you know, a few weeks, and sometimes even we have people who want you know, your postpartum doulas. So, you know, you can use this for postpartum doula support for children who are, you know, over or in, at an appropriate age. So, so this really simple method, and it's just, it's not the greatest method, but I do actually know a few consultants who use it consistently for younger babies. So the slides take you through the procedures. The baby whisper suggests doing it a little bit differently for naps, in that you just go in just before the baby's going to wake up. So if your baby wakes up at 30 minutes for naps, then you go in before that and you put your hands on the baby and you pat them and try to keep them from waking fully. So basically get them back to sleep before they wake fully. And it's not, does not involve any crying at all, so it could possibly work. The only problem is a lot of babies who are short napping consistently, it's because of a medical reason, often reflux, so that's also something that needs to be evaluated. So then there's this other method that people are going to start getting confused with, and it's called wake and sleep. And Harvey Karp talked about this in his previous book, but it's actually one of his key methods in his sleep book. And it's basically, he says, you know, rock your baby, nurse your baby to sleep. And as long as when you put your baby in the crib, you give them a little jiggle so that they open their eyes a little bit, they know where they are, and they learn the feeling of falling asleep from extremely drowsy. So you've heard of putting down babies down drowsy but awake. This is more extremely drowsy but awake. This is asleep but only slightly awake. And so put the baby down, give them a jostle. And so the idea is to help at the beginning of the night, because we know that's the most important time for learning, that the child can very gently and gradually learn to fall asleep, because they already know kind of the feeling of falling asleep. They're not going to get alerted because they kind of know where they are. They know they're not in their parents' arms anymore. It's, you know, can be used gently with younger babies. And please let me know if you think this is all, like, way too overwhelming to have these nine methods. Personally, I think that, you know, people should be aware of the different methods, because adaptations need to be made for each family. And parents will ask about methods, but I have had in other classes feedback that, you know, it's just too overwhelming. So let me know. We'd love to know. So core night stretching is, it's very British. So Margaret, you might be familiar with this. Basically, it's also called the core night or core night stretch. And basically, you establish a time when the child is not eating at night. It might be 2 hours, it might be 4 hours, and then you just don't feed them during that time, so that they're not used to eating, so they're less likely to wake up, and then you gradually stretch out that time frame. So I would strongly recommend listening to the video, because it outlines the method, and also some concerns that may or be something to look for in the method as well. A lot of detail on this one. The Sleep Lady Shuffle, it's in Kim West's book, Good Night, Sleep Tight. It's also called Behavioral Fading, Camping Out, the Cot Method or the Chair Method. And also, I know there's some books. There's some people in the UK who are also kind of using this method, and Dana Obelman's group, the Sleep Sense Consultants, they use a variation of this as well. But it's actually a really good book to have in your library. It's Kim West's book. The infant portion, I would say, is out of date, or, you know, probably not as reliable. But as far as the sleep method, the sleep shuffle, it's actually pretty solid, and it's probably the only method that I normally recommend for children over 18 months. But this method has to be done by a parent. And so if you're coaching a family using this method, you might be in the hall, you might be in a corner where the child can't see you, Or you may be just somewhere in the room while the child can't see you, because it involves the parent sitting beside the child and then just slowly moving themselves out of the picture. And it's a fairly slow process, but it can come together in 2 weeks. And you really don't want a stranger sitting by a child. Sometimes we start with the shuffle, and then we move to the shushing down method after night one or two. And so that's where the parents can have somebody else come in. Then we have the shushing down method, which is also based in behavioral fading, but nobody's sitting beside the child. The child can't see the person who's responding to them. So this method, the parents can put the child down, and you as a coach can either slip in when the child isn't looking, sometime during the bedtime routine, or you can just sneak in after the parent leaves. So the parent's going to put the child down and leave. If the parent's doing the support, then they're going to sneak back in or have one parent hanging out there. If you're doing the support, then you just sneak back in. You don't want the child to see you, and especially by night two, I would avoid letting the child see you at all. So when you're coming to the door, just let the parents know that you don't want the child to see you, especially if the baby's very alert. Then, you know, they'll bring the child upstairs. You come in, you know, you just sneak in somewhere. So you don't want to be a distraction if you can avoid it at all. If you have any questions, just let me know. So there's a protocol for each night. We go through the protocol. So we do the shushing, the keywords. You have the option to do the patting or touching. If the child is hysterical, then you can have a parent come in and do the pick-up, put-down. So typically, parents don't come in with us using this method. Sometimes they do. And I usually would suggest having a cell phone and giving the parents your cell phone number so they can text you and get an update. And you can text them and say, I think you should come in and do a pick-up, put-down, or ask a question. I know I've texted parents and say, can you turn the light in the hall off, things like that. But parents, you know, they're going to be really distressed no matter what is going on. And so most parents, reassuring them and just giving them a progress report, or, you know, you might say, If we don't see any improvement in a few minutes, then maybe a pickup would be great. The parents may want to do a pickup earlier than you, which is also fine. They can do it whenever, as long as you can explain to them that the child took so long to fall asleep because they, you know, picked him up 5 times. You're going to be doing a lot of responding at the beginning of the night and through the night when the child wakes up. And it may have to be loud, like it needs to be as loud and as long as the child is fussing. So you may have to be fairly loud to get their attention. But with this method, children often will be quieter more often because they'll stop and listen. And that's always a really good sign. Having said that, any method can feel like cry it out. Any method can feel like cry it out. So it depends on the child's experience and the child's temperament. So, although this method is really good for more alert children and children under, 17, 18 months, it's a bit trickier as they get, closer to 18 months, but sometimes we still use it. It's ideal for younger babies because, a 5-month-old or a 6-month-old isn't really going to care if you're sitting in a chair beside them if you're not picking them up. That visual stimulation can be a real issue, and so this method takes the visual stimulation out of the picture. Alternatives. I love this picture. You'll have to pause the video. This actually came from Tracy. Her client took a picture of her and her baby doing the shushing down method. So she created this little graphic, which is really cute. You can see the mom is right down in the corner here, and the baby is here. And then she has here pointed out all the things that she had handy. So I just threw that in there. Then the 9 sleep coaching methods. You know, really important that we have continuity of care with the consultant. So if there's anything that needs to be adjusted or if you have any concerns at all, it's best to contact the consultant first so that you can also have a unified front when you're approaching the family. It's not just because, you know, the consultant knows best or whatever. It's really not serving parents well if we don't have that continuity of care. It's the same when you're a postpartum doula and there's more doulas in there than you. It's important to kind of have that. So any questions or comments?
I don't know about any of you, but whenever I've worked with other doulas or come in after other doulas or other sleep care specialists, there's always, you know, something that my clients say, oh, but they said this, and it's something different than what I would have said. And so it's always a little bit tricky if there isn't that continuity of care. I mean, fortunately, most of the ones that I've chosen to work with, we have a good communication, so we can, you know, pretty much present the same message to them. But I've had a couple where they had a different doula previously to me, and they, you know, let her go for whatever reason, and I was like, you know, while I was discussing their options, they said, oh, well, we didn't like what so-and-so said, and da-da-da-da. So
yeah, it can be a little bit of a dance. The one thing that can help you in that situation is if you're current on your research and evidence, and you can just also, you know, promoting informed choice. So if you can just say to the family, well, there's more than one way to do it. There's some research supporting this, and there's some research supporting that, and it's your decision. I mean, I have heard things that have kind of made my eyes pop out of my head, but, you know, there's situations where parents deserve to know the truth. But, or, you know, especially if they're kind of distressed about what they've heard. But overall, it's best to really have a unified front. And, you know, the sleep coaching is a significant event in families' lives, and it certainly can change their lives a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose what it also highlights then is when we choose to work with a sleep consultant, we really must be on board with their methods, because there's quite a few, obviously, isn't there, methods, and we, as people, we may not always agree with a particular method. So how do we overcome that?
So I think really building a relationship with the sleep consultants around and understanding what methods they use before you kind of get into that situation. The methods in this first half of the video, I would consider the gentler methods. And the other video, it does cover the no-cry sleep solution and stuff like that, but those are not necessarily the gentler methods because they can be really stimulating, they can take a long time, and parents can get really frustrated and often will go to something more aggressive because no-cry doesn't work. They'll go to full-on cry, for example, cry it out like extinction. So it's important to be comfortable with the methods and, you know, maybe have some collaboration. Sometimes you can kind of, you need to have a good relationship with the consultant, because personally, if a child is crying a long time, I want the parents to pick them up and calm them down. A lot of other consultants don't do that. But at the same time, when you're in the heat of it, if things are not going well, I hope the consultant will, you know, make allowances for, you know, calming and that sort of thing. That's my hope. That's kind of the, you know, one of the messages that I'm trying to get out to sleep consultants is, you know, there is a gentler way. You can look at their training. The gentle sleep coaches are trained to, you know, utilize that pickup to calm and also, you know, make adaptations and choose methods that are gentler. Particularly, you know, they're very well versed in the Sleep Lady Shuffle. There's a new part of the program that's been added for the younger babies, which is the one that I teach, and it's not for young babies, but it's for 4 to 6 month olds. And in that program, we've introduced the shushing down method, and also the core night and dream feed as a sleep method, which I didn't really cover here, but it's pretty basic, which is that some people feel that dream feeds are a way of sleep coaching, and it's basically just, you know, feed the baby before you go to bed, and then maybe they'll sleep longer. And that's, you know, that's basic doula stuff as well, right? But, you know, using the dream feeds in combination with another sleep coaching method is ideal. So we covered the dream feeds with the feeding stuff because probably more appropriate in there, but it works better when you use it with the sleep coaching method, because the chance it won't actually work very well if you don't have a plan for coaching, because some babies just, you know, wake up more after they get fed. So yeah, there's other training programs that have popped up. Like I said, Dana Obelman's group is pretty much using a form of the sleep shuffle. Sometimes it looks like a bit of Ferber mixed in, where you wait 5 minutes before responding, at least initially. So that's something, you know, to ask about. Bedtime fading, which is covered in the next one. You know, I would watch anybody whose their primary method is bedtime fading, because it's not really teaching sleep skills, and it's often combined with scheduling. Some of the methods are, you know, combined with scheduling, and, you know, there's one consultant in our area who uses bedtime fading as well as introducing formula to breastfed babies as a means of keeping them, helping them sleep longer. So basically she says, okay, well, don't worry about your baby. Give them a bottle at 10 p.m., put them to bed at 11 p.m., and, you know, everything should be fine, and then just put them to bed earlier. So it's not very respectful of breastfeeding, for one thing, but it also doesn't teach sleep skills. So, I would be looking to make sure that the child is actually learning sleep skills and not just, you know, exhausting themselves or learning that somebody's not going to be coming in, which I have had people call me and ask me if I would come over and help them sleep train their child. And when I explain to them what I do, that we need to start with a consult, they're like, no, I just want you to come over while I put the kid in the room to make sure that it's okay. And, you know, I've had to say, I'm sorry, if you're looking for someone to, you know, give you permission to let your baby cry or, you know, watch your baby cry, that's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning the sleep skills is important. But there are a lot of sleep consultants that have their heart in the right place. You know, some of them are trained, some of them are untrained, but there's more and more gentle sleep coaches, coming around. And so I would, you know, suggest trying to develop a relationship with them. There's a few I can tell you that are trained but not certified, and in the dental sleep coach program. So there's two in Southern Ontario. Well, I don't know if Barrie counts as Southern, Horseshoe Valley counts as Southern Ontario, but she mostly works in Barrie. So there's one there, and then there's one in Brampton that's trained also as a dental sleep coach, but not certified. So, you know, there are people around. There's the Maternity Institute is a group of baby planners who decided to create a sleep consultant program. It's got a lot of postpartum doula stuff in it.
Is there anybody in Ottawa who does?
I'm the only one in Ottawa. I'm in Ottawa about every month, but I work with a lot of Ottawa clients over over the phone.
Right.
So I've gone to Ottawa to do night support in the past. I know Tracy, the sleep doula, has also gone to Ottawa to do night support in the past as well, on occasion. But, yeah, so I'm also doing a bit of publicity in Ottawa over the next little while, and just to let parents know that the service is available. And I will definitely keep you in mind, Margaret.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah, so hopefully we can really get things going there, because I know that, you know, in the Ottawa Valley, people are hearing from their friends of, you know, what's happening in Southern Ontario, that these services are available and they're asking about them. And so just trying to be more visible to Ottawa so that they know that there's options out there and that there is a service out there.
Definitely. I definitely believe there's certainly a market for it here. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm coming down for the Kappa conference, and I'm not sure if I'm going to exhibit there or not, but I am speaking at the Nepean Library on the Saturday, and at a play group on a Tuesday, and then I'm arranging a couple other speaking arrangements as well. Trick is, I don't know where the rooms are to rent that are inexpensive and in good locations, and haven't really tapped into the mommy groups there. I have in Orleans, but I realize the Toronto people, the Ottawa City people, don't actually go to Orleans.
No.
So, I'm just trying to fill a calendar while I'm there, and I'm doing some webinars that I'm targeting at some of the Ottawa people. So, I was there at Toys R Us, at Babies R Us, for 2 days a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I did get some information out there, and I've added some Ottawa people to my mailing list. So, you know, it's a place to start, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would definitely go through the sleep coaching methods. Part two is really, it's more targeted at consultants. I didn't actually, I'm trying to have dual purpose. So it's a little bit targeted at consultants. So if you have any questions when you go through part two about, you know, how would I support families using this method, then, you know, we can talk about it next week. So just when you go through the videos, if you have questions, just write them down so you can bring them to class next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't have the slides up for the observation class, but maybe I can just add them quickly. Anything quick about this? So in the observation class, you know, we talked a lot about the signs of self-soothing. I think that's really key to be aware of those signs, because it will help you ensure that you can make this process as painless as possible for the child and family. So also pointing out those signs of self-soothing will really give the parents reassurance, and it'll help you to know that, you know, you're on the right track as well. So that the most common one that people misunderstand is the lifting up the legs and dropping them on the mattress. And then a lot of them are obvious, but I also, you know, I would watch out for quiet breaks also. Those are really important signs of self-soothing, especially when they're 20 seconds or longer. And also gets into what sleep learning looks like and what, you know, it's going to be like for you kind of to be in the room watching this process. Typical lengths of sleep learning, you know, that's something to really watch out for, because okay. Can you move your hand, Tracy, please? A little bit further south would be great. Or east or west. Yeah. Okay, great. So signs of self-soothing with the legs, the head, you know, doing something with the attachment object, sucking, quiet breaks, really important. So as we go through, if you have any questions, let me know, because I know you probably watched the video, so don't need to go through everything in detail. If the child is waking for hunger, you know, there's different approaches. You can just say, okay, well, you know, if we don't feed the child for 3 nights, they're going to stop waking for hunger. But children who are hungry will wake up and they'll cry and they'll probably be able to be coached back to sleep. But then 10 minutes later, they'll wake up again and you may be able to coach them back to sleep and then they'll just keep waking up. So if the parents are concerned, you can always do a dream feed during one of those quiet breaks. And then, you know, the next night, just try to get a little bit further. If that's, you know, if that's the way to go, it can make the process gentler. I usually try to do lots of feeds at the beginning of the night and then get the child to do a bit of a stretch. Ideally, they make it to 5 at least, but 6 would be perfect. So, you know, if they're the hardest time to eliminate a feed is if it's between 1:30 and 4:30 a.m., because you can always use dream feeds. If you have a dream feed at 1:30, you can do it earlier, gradually. If you have a dream feed at 5, it's just a matter of coaching the baby 15 minutes longer the next day, doing a dramatic wake-up, feed the baby, or hold the baby and hold them off from the feed a little bit longer when they're having an uptime. And you can actually just move that timing later so that it ends up after 6. But that middle of the night, if you can avoid any feeds in the middle of the night, it's ideal. So most children we work with take over an hour to fall asleep that first time. I always want children to be calmed at least by the 1 hour mark. And once they're picked up, most of them are asleep within half an hour. I have had children go on 45 minutes. I tell parents that, you know, you can do a pickup and then 20 or 30 minutes later, you can do another pickup. Of course, they can do as many pickups as they want, but there's an advantage to waiting it out a little bit longer. And then, of course, they can watch for signs of self-soothing before they pick up. And that's going to be your job, is to see, well, let's just check and see if he's doing signs of self-soothing. If he is, then, you know, maybe you can wait 5 minutes and see if they improve. So last time I was sleep coaching, the mom's like, I want to do a pickup. So I'm like, okay, you can do a pickup right now. And then the baby gets quiet. And so then I'm texting her like, don't come in now. And then, you know, the baby was asleep in like 2 minutes after that. So if she had come and done a pickup right at that moment, then he would have taken it probably at least another 15, 20 minutes to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
It can be tricky. So you can take notes however you want, but I just wanted to share my little method with you. I like to be able to tell parents, you know, what kind of crying the child has done. If they, you know, I could say, I mean, usually you just summarize it because it's way too much. I mean, the notes that I have, like, they just look at it and they're like, what? But, you know, basically the child, you know, took half an hour to fall asleep. And there's about 5 minutes of screaming and 10 minutes of crying, and there was a whole bunch of quiet breaks, you know. So, or you can say, you know, only 20 minutes of that was crying and 10 minutes was quiet. It helps them to know that they're on the right track. This is actually two pieces of paper here. I just printed up this little thing where, because this is I have really messy writing, as you can see on the right. It's actually from a night of sleep coaching. And so these are the things that, you know, I would say it's night one, the child's name, because, you know, oftentimes if the child is hysterical, I will switch up my mantra a little bit and add the child's name. So, you're okay, Heather, nighty night, Heather. And that kind of gets their attention a little bit more so that, you know, you can sort of get them calmed down a bit. Then, of course, having the parent's name handy just in case you forget, because, you know, you're going to be there all night. And their words that they use Now, a lot of families would be like, I don't know. So my old standby is you're okay, nighty-night, go to sleep, whatever. You can even switch it up a little bit through the night if you get bored. I've had a lot of families who, you know, they have different languages that they speak to their child. And in that case, it's really important to learn their words that they're going to say. So spelling it out phonetically really helps. I usually ask them to, can you just spell that phonetically? So I've had Hebrew, Portuguese, Turkish, just a wide variety of little words that I should actually keep track of them because I tend to have that. This is me taking notes, and then the circles, every once in a while I'll stop and figure out how long that was. So, 20 minutes. And that way when I go to do my morning report, I just go to the parts that are circled. And I know, awake for 7 minutes and asleep for blah, blah, blah. And then I can tell what time it is. So it's especially messy in the middle of the night because you don't always have very good light. So I usually keep my finger on the next blank spot and I'll write the number and then I move my finger down a little bit just because sometimes if you use your light from your flashlight, from your phone or flashlight, that then the child can get going more because, you know, having even ambient light can be disturbing to some children. So I usually, after the child's asleep, I would go out most of the time, go out and give the parents a little report. Just be prepared at any moment to duck back in. And parents, you know, really like to kind of connect with you, ask questions. They want to tell you all about their babies, you know, but really they want to know, if the child was showing signs of self-soothing, you know, how it went, you know, what you were doing. And they might ask you if it's your last night there. You need to make sure that before you leave in the morning that they know what the next step is going to be. And so that's also where you need to really be aware of the plan with the sleep coach. Sometimes babies sleep really well after falling asleep, but I normally just say, you know what, I just want to go in and make sure that I'm there before the baby wakes up. As you know, sometimes it can be, I'm not really interested in chatting with the parents all night. So they don't really expect it, but it also gives the parents, even though they're probably going to be really polite, you know, they probably haven't had dinner and, you know, they could probably, you know, for the first time in their baby's life, use some time to themselves to connect as well. And then I normally will stay in the room most of the night. Now, you might be camping out in, you know, the room across the street and just across the hall and just going into the room when it's time to do the coaching, especially if it's after the first two nights. You may not need to stay in the room the whole time. I also will ask parents to provide me with a chair or stool. I like the stools because I can get down a bit lower. And a mat or cushion. Now, some people who are doing night work are, you know, actually really demanding and saying that they need a bed and pillows and blankets and all this stuff. I think, like, I am a big fan of just sort of being as self-sufficient as possible, so I keep a little pillow that folds out into a blanket in my bag just in case I need it for comfort. But, you know, I will ask for cushions or a pillow. People will often offer you blankets and things like that, but I don't want to seem like, you know, I'm in there to have a good snooze or something as well, right? Mm-hmm. So then in the morning, what I figured out is, like, I was just scratching out a little report, and I figured out that parents actually keep these forever because it's like a huge, momentous moment in their child's life. And I was in there for other parents, and they were like, well, let me see what, you know, our other child did. And they pull out this little scratch of paper that I did for them 2 years previously. So I started being a bit more careful about trying to write neatly. And I have my little pad that has a cute baby picture on it and my name and number. Although, in as the night coach, you don't need to worry about the follow-up support. That's something that the sleep consultant should be following through with. So actually makes your job a lot easier. So I would, you know, these are the things that I would add. Time to fall asleep, any signs of self-soothing. Mostly it's time, how long it took them to fall asleep, when they were awake, how long it was, how long they slept for. And so a lot of parents are like amazed, like, oh, slept a four-hour stretch, you know, or, you know, a lot of children have never slept that much in their lives. There may be like a few recommendations that you can make without contacting the sleep consultant. So, for example, you may have noticed that the lights were really bright, so you can actually even just turn things around or put cloths over them or do whatever you can to, you know, make the environment more conducive. I also turn up the white noise a lot. A lot of families think it's helping that it, when it's really quiet, and it's a good idea just to sort of crank it up in the beginning, and if, you know, once the child learns those sleep skills, to start turning it down afterwards. They can wean off of it by turning the volume down. However, I mean, when I do the sleep coaching and I'm trying to respond to the child, I usually turn the white noise down, and then after the child's asleep, I'll crank it back up again. And this is kind of an example. I'm sorry, I don't know why this happens when I bring it into cauliflower. The formatting gets really weird. So this is my little pad, and this is just kind of an example of what it looks like in the morning. And that is all of that. So any questions, comments? Okay. So this week's content is, let me just pull it up here. This week, we are looking at professional issues. And unfortunately, because I'm going to the conference, this week is going to be late, too. So if we don't get caught up, we might have to add, we might do it live, the professional issues live in the next class. But I'll try to get it done prior to that, so it's more of a discussion. And but we may have to add another Q&A call. If we kind of get behind, and I apologize, it's kind of my fault. But I think that we can catch up by next Wednesday. So other than that, is there anything else that anybody wants to discuss? Everybody's being really quiet.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the exam at the end?
It's going to be true or false or fill in the blank. So it's going to be really easy. It's just, you know, to ensure that you have a grasp of the key points. The key messages for me are really a lot about, you know, observing the baby, making sure that it's as gentle a process as possible. Understanding those sleep basics, understanding the pickup and how to do a dramatic wake up. So it's not going to be details on all these different nine methods. Not going to be details about that at all. That's something that, you know, the information's there, and we may, I'll probably add a handout with the protocol for the shushing down method, because that's most likely a method that you're going to use. Even the gentle sleep coaches that aren't familiar with it, they would get that really easily. Like if their clients want night support, it's usually somebody to do it. And that in that way, they need to adjust their plan so that it's looking like the shushing down method. Mm-hmm. So I actually, one of the sleep consultants has asked me about, like, how does it work? Because I have clients asking me, how does it work when you have a night person in? So I then talked to the sleep consultant about how to adjust their plan so that it's conducive to having a night specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's now kind of ready the next time that situation comes up to have somebody else go in and do it.
And how many night specialists are there in sort of our region then, if you like?
If you're talking about trained, very few. There's maybe 10 to 12 that are trained. I've trained one in the U.S., in California. And, yeah, so there's a lot of girls in Southern Ontario doing this work, but they don't have any training.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, you can get by, but there's that 20 to 30% of the time that it's not going to necessarily be a positive outcome. So there's also a lot of consultants that aren't trained, and, you know, a lot of children will learn to sleep using any method. The big concern is, well, probably the percentage is a 20% probably won't need us. Then there's that, it's probably about 50% that are going to be easy peasy, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the 20% that have medical issues, and then there's the others who have issues with temperament, anxiety, experiences that, you know, are going to make it more challenging. So
yeah.
The question is, are we doing harm? That, for me, that's the bottom line. So, yeah, you can actually do this business without being trained and actually hit, you know, probably more than 50%, no problem. You're unlikely to find out when there is a problem. Parents don't always give feedback about these things, and they don't always know that, you know, their milk supply has all of a sudden depleted because of the sleep coaching method. They may not know that, so the feedback may not get back. The lactation consultants, you know that, and, you know, they have a lot of concerns about sleep coaching and that sort of thing. But so there's, it's not really, from what I can see, popular in the Ottawa Valley at the moment. But it is really popular in Southern Ontario, where parents are asking for the services from doulas and childbirth educators and people who aren't doing them. They're just, you know, they hear that other people use this, and, you know, so word is, you know, spreads around, a lot of word of mouth spreading in Southern Ontario. And then I've had a lot of people who have asked me from Ottawa and said, look, I'm looking for, you know, they don't know what to call it. So, you know, that's where, if you have a website, you know, I would use a lot of words like, you know, baby sleep and things like that, like not necessarily night specialist or night coach, but, you know, it's kind of a little bit of education. It's kind of like being a doula, and you have to tell everybody what a doula is. But this is actually a lot easier to explain. I do sleep coaching. It's very simple. People get it right from the beginning. But yeah, also, you know, we're going to talk about this. Connecting with the sleep consultants is one of the main ways of getting work.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked to consultants from other training institutes from Southern Ontario, and, you know, they're absolutely, you know, interested in people working for them. Again, you have to decide for yourself if it's a good fit for you. I will, I'll give you some contacts. I'll give you the contacts from Southern Ontario, that from your area, of people that the GSCs that work in the area. There's really not very many, but there's a new batch. There's a new training starting in a couple weeks. So hopefully, you know, we get more, because I'd be really happy if there were more. more of Kim West trainees in the area, because at least I know that they have, you know, minimum 80 hours of in-class time plus a year of supervision minimum. So
yeah.
It makes a big difference. You know, some of the training classes are, well, one of them is actually, which I don't think, well, we do actually have somebody probably from there. One of them is like a two-hour video that you watch, and then there's another organization that will apparently certify you as a sleep consultant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's only one person in Southern Ontario that I know of that has gone that route. So definitely different qualities,
yes.
For sure. And also some of the sleep programs are taught by one person. And, you know, there was a time when I thought, you know what, I can teach sleep consultants. But after taking this more intensive sleep training course, because I took first the one from the UK, I realized that one person couldn't teach this. So, I mean, Kim West, you know, has been a practicing sleep consultant. She has a therapy background for over 17 years. She mm-hmm. taught this class, but she had 8-ish teachers teaching components of it. And through that, I realized that really one person cannot teach a program like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings in doctors and psychologists and all sorts of people into the program. So it's, you know, it is at the moment, from what I can tell, it's the most comprehensive program available.
Yeah.
It's a bit pricier, for sure, but they, you know, it's a good
worth
business.
It.
Yeah. You know, you earn your money back, and then your connections, because a lot of the medical community is becoming more aware of all these different sleep consultants out there and the different programs. And so Kim is working really hard to get out there to the medical community that her program is the most comprehensive and it is professional and the certification program is registered and, you know, all of this stuff. So it's she's promoting really high standards, and it will pay off in the long run. And I have doctors who refer to me, so and I have a lot of doctors who are clients as well. So you know, word spreads fast.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, then we will see you next week. And what I'll do is when I get. So definitely this video, it actually might even be already up there, but it should be up in the next little while. But if I add any more videos, I will just send everybody just a little email so that you know, because it probably won't be until early next week at the earliest.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Have a great week.
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
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 Tracy?
Everybody hang up. That was really good.
That's all?
What?
Oh, my goodness. My life is insane.
I'll bet.
Yes. Okay, so did anything come of those phone calls and emails that I've been sending you?
Nothing firmed up yet, no.
Okay.
Anita Brown, I called her back and just left a message. She didn't call me back. She was looking for napping issues. I guess you talked to her baby is 6 months. I guess you talked to her when her baby was 2 months, and she asked for you specifically. Lauren, I talked to her for a long time, and she's going to get back to me. Oh, and then Veronica Tooley was from Isogenics, and she wants to touch base with you.
Oh. You know, I think I left a message for her saying that I just wasn't interested. I hope. That was my plan. She keeps calling me.
And your friend Michelle's friend, Kathleen?
Yeah.
I called and left her a message, and I emailed her, but she hasn't ever gotten back to me.
Okay.
And Nicole Milo, she's the one whose husband thought it was kind of expensive but wanted in-home. And so I emailed her back, and I haven't heard back again from her yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in the short term, if they want in-home, I would check with Sari first.
Okay. To see what she's available for?
Yeah. I can give you her number if you need it. Like, if it comes up, I'll let you just kind of arrange it, and I will let you talk to Sari. If you there's an opportunity possibly if you're familiar with doing this sort of coordinating. There's possible opportunities for the future because, like, for example, Heather right now, yesterday, she's like, I'm so busy and I really need money and I'm really praying that I have opportunities to earn money because my family really needs it right now. And she's like, I have seven families who want postpartum support, but I can't do it. And I don't even have time to see if I can find someone else to do it. And so I'm like, oh, I just sort of crunched some numbers and spelt it out for her what she needed to do and convinced her that, yes, it'd be worth investing some time into that right now so she can get some deposits and just sort of let her know that, you know, seven, like $2,000 a week if she had seven girls out there. So she's like,
great, yeah.
Emails back, she's like, oh, but she doesn't want to do all this coordinating and stuff. So in the future, I mean, that work just fell into her hands. So she's getting it going, but in the future, you know, she might be looking for somebody to do coordinating and you know, other people also, and also myself as I get busier. So, and, you know, it takes a little bit of finessing because you have to, you know, contact the parents and make them feel comfortable, but then also see if you can get the parents to do an interview either in person or, you know, Skype or something with the other person. And I have a little bio for Sari because that has her picture in it, because a lot of people think that, you know, a visible minority. It makes a big difference to people if you're coming into their home, into their baby's room. It's very personal. So
is she East Indian?
No, she's Scandinavian, so she's like blonde. So people like to see her picture. They feel really reassured.
Oh, that you're not a visible minority?
Right, yeah.
Oh.
Her name is a little different, so
they don't know.
They kind of want to know who's coming into their home, right?
What color are her eyes?
I think they're blue.
Blonde and blue eyes.
Yeah, they're Finnish, I think.
Over the phone. No, you'll see this pretty blonde, blue-eyed, pregnant woman coming to you. Is she pregnant still?
No, she was pregnant. Did she say she was pregnant?
No, didn't you say she was pregnant?
No, Cassandra's pregnant.
That's
I hope.
What I'm thinking of, Cassandra.
Richard thought she was pregnant, but I'm like, you're mad. I'm pretty sure she's not pregnant, but I should ask her, seeing I'm trying to get her work. But anyway.
Cassandra or sorry?
Sari. It's like Sarah,
oh.
But Sari.
Sari, like Sherry, but Sari?
Yeah.
And then when this beautiful blonde, blue-eyed girl comes to the door, that's
I have
her.
A little bio with a picture, so if you have to send a pic, if you want to send a bio out to her, to a client, then yeah.
Okay, does she have any work right now?
She has a contract coming up at the end of October, but her husband, I don't think, is working either, so... Yeah, that's why she would bend over backwards probably to get the work. And she's like, she worked last year for the whole year. She worked seven nights a week, I think. She was like any work. I'll take any work.
Wow.
Yeah. So. But anyways, there are other options as well. It's just that Sari's a pretty good one. My niece,
I think
Sarah,
but they live in Oakville.
Sari lives in Brampton. Oh, yeah, but Oakville is, like, it's only 45 minutes from me, so it's half an hour from Brampton. So,
okay. I don't know where all the little towns are.
Yeah, it's still in the GTA, so it doesn't matter. If on the outskirts, well, we charge more for travel, but Oakville is, you know, right in our catchment.
So did James quit his job?
He did quit his job. We're not really that thrilled about that, but he quit his job. And he's got a few ideas, but his buddy and him, nice kid, they came up with this whole business idea. Well, they went through a lot of business ideas, and they came up with this one business idea that is really based on my business. And I had to sort of rein it in a little bit. But it's actually not a bad business idea. I guess it could do well. I put some parameters on it because I'm, you know, have other potential business dealings that I have to be careful about what I'm involved in. So basically, they want to sell like videos online, like access to videos online. They're like, you already have the videos, and because his friend is Fred, the one who has been doing some video stuff for me. And so I was like, okay, well, I've got these two videos, like the Better Sleep Workshop videos, but you can't sell them for under $100. And so they're... So they, you know, they're like, oh, that's no problem. I don't think that actually will sell for $100, to be honest. But, so anyways... They want to do marketing and all this business and try to sell these videos online for $100. And I told them that, like, basically I told them that I would pass over to them the webinar part of my business because I actually can't keep up with it. And I have all these professionals who are more than happy to do webinars with me. But, you know, I can't keep up with it. And it hasn't made money yet, but now that I'm collecting more names for my newsletter list, you know, that's how you can get more people on the calls, and that's where you make more money, right? So I think they're thinking about that piece, but I'm hoping that it will take over it because, you know, I can't administrate it. You know what I mean? But anyways, if they decide not to, maybe you want to do it.
I don't know anything about computers.
Well, we need to get it something other than cauliflower because that is just not reliable anymore, is it?
No.
I'm going to email them again, but I don't know what their problem is.
Yeah, I don't know. The link didn't even work today that got emailed to me.
Yeah.
My calendar.
Yeah, they gave me 2 months free. That's the only reason that we're still there. And the program Kim has gone to, I want to try it out first before I really, you know, decide if I like it. I really want something where you can show a video live, right?
Mm-hmm. Do something where you can look on the internet at the same time?
Yeah, well... So we have the videos recorded. You just get everybody on the call together and
play the video.
Play the video, yeah.
I haven't figured out how to get on Kim's call. I think she had one at the same time as your class.
Was it the new way?
I think so. Because they had, at the last class they said the next one would be the new way.
Oh. And I guess, I think the thing is that you don't get an email video invite. You go to the calendar and click on something, and it connects you. You get the information for connecting that way.
So, yeah, it was, here it is, sleeplady.globalmeet.com/purple-yellow.
And there must be something weird, like they said that it's in the...
I wonder if the class is still going on. I'm going there now.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to let you go because I'm trying to pack up and I'm really not prepared. But,
I'm going to meet with James in 10 minutes. He's going to tell me how to work my Gmail for the way that he set up my old email stuff.
Oh. He's not home, so I have no idea what he's up to.
He said he'll be from a remote location.
Yes. He's probably at my mother's house or something. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.